Take your Bibles, if you would, and we're going to go to Matthew, book of Matthew, and chapter 18, and I'm going to read a few verses there in just a moment. And you know, I was thinking as I was watching the children up here, if that's all we accomplished all week long, it'd be worth it. Because do you know what? They'll remember that. I still remember, you know, I was saved in Vacation Bible School, most of you know this, when I was 7 years old. And I still remember. I remember the Vacation Bible, not only that, but a lot of others. Put a poem in a bulletin last, I think a year or two ago that I wrote, and it's really about me, but it just says a child's testimony. I was saved at Bible school, but you do not know me. You probably didn't notice a child you didn't see, but I saw you every day in the small things you did. Your labor for my sake from my eyes was not hid. You took time to speak to me. You prayed for me each day. You taught songs I now can sing. You pointed to God's way. You sent cookies just for me. Maybe my class you taught. All your work on my behalf God used. My soul he sought. I was saved because you cared, redeemed because you gave a bit of love to a child so God his soul could save. See, that's all about a bit of love to some children. In Matthew chapter 18, I want to consider some thoughts this morning on why children's ministries are important. Why children's ministries are important. Matthew chapter 18, let me read verses 1 through 6 as we begin. At the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I like this. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you and thank you for today. Thank you for the week of Vacation Bible School, the involvement of so many from this church and so many little things that made it all possible. Lord, we pray as we consider some thoughts about children's ministries this morning that you would help us understand the love you have for these little ones. And Lord, help us to love them as you would. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Why are children's ministries important? I think that, first of all, they're important because God takes special interest in children. I looked at my Bible program. I've got a Bible program on my computer. And I typed in the word children. The word children occurs in the Bible 1,524 times. I know sometimes it talks about the children of Israel, the children of some other nation, but most of the time it's just about children. You know, children can be annoying. Children can be a little too busy sometimes. Children can blurt out things that you didn't think was there in their little minds. Sometimes they blurt out things that are the truth that you don't really want to hear. God takes special interest in children. We see here in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. I like this portion of Scripture because of the apostles. Notice The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Look at this picture with me. His disciples come. Now, this could have been part of the apostles and maybe some other, because the apostles are the sent ones, the disciples are taught ones. But anyway, this group of men come. And they come to Jesus. And I'm sure that they come with the most pious of face. They fold their hands religiously. And they ask Jesus, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And their thought was, "Surely he will pick me." What a arrogant attitude. Remember that James and John, they came to Jesus and said, "Well, you know what? We really like to sit on your right and your left hand in your kingdom. We'd like to be second only to you in the kingdom. Everybody else subject to us." What is wrong with us that we have that attitude? He said, "Who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I told you before about a fellow in my mother's church back in Michigan that got up on Wednesday night and he said, "You'll notice on Wednesday evenings when it comes to prayer time, I go to a corner of the church and I pray by myself and I don't pray with others here in the church. And I just want you to know the reason I do that is there's no one in the church here who really is spiritual enough to pray with me." I would have said, "Is there a 5-year-old here? How dare we?" God takes special interest in children. On down to Matthew chapter 18. It says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angel doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Think about this. Jesus says, be careful your attitude about these little ones, these children. Why? They have their own angels in heaven. Scripture says, "Of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Angels are real. There have been a lot of thought about angels in the last few years, and most of that is foolishness, okay? But angels are real. Angels are in heaven. The Bible talks about guardian angels. But it says that we need to be careful about our attitudes because they have angels in heaven that are in the presence of God. In verse 14, he says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our Calvinist friends have trouble with that verse. Said it's not God's will that one child should perish. It's not God's will. You look at the children across the world today. They're probably across the world today are 2 billion children under the age of 16 or 17. God said, "It's not my will that any one of those billions of children should perish and go to a Christless eternity." God cares for the children. We sing the song, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world." Jesus died for all the children. Jesus rose for all the children. Jesus lives for all the children. And Jesus, one Sunday, those who have trusted Christ, he will come back for the children of the world. Matthew 18, verse 6, the last verse that we read in that portion. Jesus says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. He were drowned in the depths of the sea." Pretty harsh language. You know, think of the little ones here and the little ones we had at VBS that couldn't be here today. You know, it's pretty easy to offend a little child. It's pretty easy to make a remark about how they look. Make a remark about them not being smart enough to memorize a verse. that they have a terrible singing voice. We can say a lot of things to a little child that would hurt that child's feelings, that would offend that little child. I'm afraid many times children have never trusted Christ as their Savior because someone has decided that that little child doesn't meet up to their personal expectations, and they have voiced that to that child, and so the child becomes offended and says, I'm not good enough for that person. If I'm not good enough for that person, then I'm not good enough for God. And they turn away, and we lose them. Not just from Sunday school or vacation Bible school, but we lose them for eternity. God takes special interest in children. Jesus very clearly said, you offend one of these little ones, it is a very serious, serious matter. God takes special interest in children. Also, we see that children's ministries are important because children are everywhere. Go a couple of verses, be back to Matthew. Matthew 14, go back there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. And they that eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. We go on just a little bit, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 38. It's the feeding of the 4,000. They that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. The children were everywhere. Think about that. The shore of the Sea of Galilee. I've never been there. But the Sea of Galilee, and there Jesus is teaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there are 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, we often do the math, say if there are 5,000 men there, there's probably 5,000 women there. If there are 5,000 men and 5,000 women, there's probably at least 10,000 children, and I think that's a very small number. Probably there's closer to 20 or 25,000 children running around. Now, in vacation Bible school, and when I was in Ontario, we did vacation Bible schools there, and sometimes I'd have 300, 350 children in vacation Bible school running around the building, trying to get all of them off the buses, into the building, have opening, get them dismissed to their classes, get them back in, and get them moving from classes to refreshments to the bouncy castles and to their lesson and to get them moving. It was a real challenge. Can you imagine? Take a small number. 10,000 children there. Can you imagine? Everywhere. And there on the shore of Galilee, remember what happened there? That Jesus and the apostles had heard that John the Baptist had died. And so Jesus said, let's go apart and rest a while. They went up there to the shore of Galilee and they didn't get any rest. They were busy and they kept bringing people to Jesus to heal. And they would go out and say, Peter would go out and he'd get somebody and they'd be lame. He'd help them. And he'd trip over 5 kids trying to get this guy to Jesus. Getting him back, and he getting back, and somebody, and a child, and this time the child is deaf, and he's taking a child to Jesus, and all his friends are tagging along, pulling on Peter's robe, and the children were everywhere. You know, children in our communities are everywhere, often except where they really need to be. It's sad today, there's so many things going on that it's difficult to get children to come out to a vacation Bible school. So many camps and programs and all these things that happen. And I mean, Pastor Stansford in Marystown ran into a problem because they opened the pool up to all the kids from Newfoundland Housing for the afternoon, the same time as vacation Bible school. Now think about a kid, and you say, well, they should have, no. You think, go to vacation Bible school, a free afternoon swimming. What are they going to do? They went swimming. There's so many things. But there are children everywhere. We go about and I see as I go about around town and everybody that the little ones, they're everywhere. And I think that if someone does not teach them the gospel, What will their life be as they grow into an adult? And where will they spend eternity? Children are everywhere. We see as well that children are often overlooked. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Again, we find our friends, the apostles. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. And they were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples rebuked them. What a statement. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them and departed thence. Here are our friends, the apostles, again. Jesus is teaching. And this is little children, and this is more babes in arms than toddlers. And the mothers, fathers, they knew Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. They wanted him just to pray for their children and to lay his hand on them and pray for the child. And they're lining up. And the disciples say, go away. Jesus, he's a busy man. He's a busy man. He got better things to do than this little baby. And your baby's crying, by the way. And don't bring a baby that's crying to Jesus. What a sad, sad commentary. What a sad commentary that we are often guilty of overlooking children. Overlooking the potential in a child. You saw those children up here. I don't know what, there are 10, maybe a dozen of them. Should God get a hold of their hearts? I wonder what God could do with 12 children in the next generation. In 20 years, they're in their late 20s. What could God be using them to do? Beyond what we can ever imagine that God can use us to do. The potential is limitless because our God is limitless. But we overlook children. We look and say, well, I don't have time to talk to that child. I don't have time to listen to what they have to say. One of the greatest things you can do for a little child is to kneel down beside them and listen to them. Because I'm afraid today often they are neglected, and because they're noisy and because they don't have maybe the best of manners and because maybe they say things sometimes that aren't exactly right, we don't have time for them. Children are often overlooked. I don't know. I think we had 24 children registered in Vacation Bible School this year. Not a big number. I would like to have 44 or 64 or 104. But that's what God gave us. I mean, we got out, I believe we did what we needed to do. But that's what God gave us. But I wonder, with 24 children, if God gets a hold of their hearts, if we are taught properly, how God can use them in this next generation. Children are often overlooked. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, of course, is writing to Timothy. Starting with verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Children grow up to be adults. Children grow up to be adults. Timothy, his little child. We don't see mention of his father other than his father was a Greek. Seems he had a godly mother and grandmother. But it says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From just a little one. You wonder, how little was Timothy when mom and grandma started to teach him the Bible? Do you know it's never too young, but it can be too late? How young was he? Just a babe in arms? Maybe as a babe in arms, mom and grandma sang the Psalms to him. Maybe as he was young, that they went to synagogue and he heard the teaching of the scriptures in the synagogue, because everybody didn't have their own Bible back then. That's why they memorized great portions of the Psalms and other portions of the Old Testament. He said, from a child. Here we saw these children just a few minutes ago and quoting scripture and being willing to stand up boldly in front of all us, in front of adults, and quote scripture for us. Wonder how many of us could, like that, quote those same verses. They're familiar ones. Timothy goes on, does a great service for God. Paul, of course, had mentored him. But I think really the real credit goes back to his mother and his grandmother, and that from a child he had learned the Holy Scriptures. You see, children grow up to be adults. And we can't get the years back. It's easy, the child 3, 4, 5 years old, to teach that child, to get them to learn the songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you wait until they're 13 or 14 years old and you've got a lot bigger struggle. Now you can, there's 13, 14 year olds get saved. Then you wait till 23 or 24 and it gets harder, and 33 and 34 and it gets harder. We know right up through the scale it gets harder the older we get. Children grow up to be adults. How much better to have children this age come to know Christ as their Savior, to learn the scriptures, to learn what the Bible says, to learn the songs that teach the scriptures, so that they don't have to go out and to suffer the degradations of sin in their life, and then maybe later on in their life come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and live their life with the scars, because they're still there. I mean, they're forgiven, but the scars are still there. Children grow up to be adults. One last thought. Children need to be taught. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Back in the Old Testament again. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses is warning the children of Israel as they're preparing to enter the land. He's giving them one last exhortation. Starting in verse 4, he lays down important principles. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Fathers, mothers, God says that it has to be in our heart first. It can't be an academic acceptance. But we have to have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I would never think of having someone come in and teach children in a vacation Bible school who was not saved. How foolish would that be? But God calls upon us as adults to first have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. These things, and then we can go on to verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post and the gate, upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Children need to be taught. Children are not by themselves all of a sudden come to great spiritual realizations and say, oh, I am a sinner. Oh, Jesus died for me. I need to trust him as my Savior. They don't just come to that from something inside of them. But they need to be taught diligently. And here it's not teaching in the academic sense that we often think of teaching, but it's teaching by example. We kind of call that mentoring today. Teaching them by example. Teach them, talk to your children about godly things. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. Talk to them about sin. Talk to them about heaven. Tell them about hell. When you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you get up. Your life. As you walk through life with your children, teach them the things of the Word of God. You see, vacation Bible school, while it's important, children's ministry in church, while it's important, that won't necessarily do all of it. God calls upon, see, God's first institution was family. And God's plan is that family passes down faith in Jesus Christ from generation to generation. One generation teaching the next generation the gospel and they getting saved, and they teaching the next generation the gospel and getting saved. Sometimes something happens and it misses a generation, but we still have the opportunity to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And some of those creatures are children. Missionaries there on the field will tell you that the children are so much easier to reach than the adults. A cousin, Johannesburg, and her husband, and they work in the townships outside Johannesburg, South Africa. Almost all their ministry is with children and young teens because they'll listen to the gospel. Folks, children's ministries are important. We spent a good bit of money. I don't even know how much. I haven't added it up. We spent time. I'm thankful that people went out and passed out flyers in our community, and some put up some posters at some stores and invited folks to come to Vacation Bible School. People gave of their week to come out and to teach and to work in the kitchen and to be here to supervise, do crafts, do all kinds of things. Don't you understand, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because children's ministries are important. This is the next generation. It's said over and over that every church is one generation away from extinction. If we don't reach the next generation, where will we be in 40 years? I know I won't be around. I'd be 103. I might be. I think 103 would be a good age. I'd like that. Where will we be? I say all this morning to say thank you. Thank you for your investment in Vacation Bible School. Thank you for prayer for Vacation Bible School. For those who met as we were meeting up here on Wednesday and met down here in the classroom in a smaller space, a lot of cramped, and prayed for us in Vacation Bible School as they had their lesson, the adult lesson on Wednesday night. For those of you who couldn't be out to Vacation Bible School, but you prayed and sent cookies. Why? Because children's ministries are important. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. The heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. One of the greatest lessons that children can learn at Vacation Bible School is that great chorus, Jesus loves me, this I know. In a moment we're going to sing that, but right now, do you understand Jesus loves you? That he died for you? That he paid for your sins? You say, Pastor Holman, yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm settled with that. Would you slip your hand and hold it? Say, Pastor, yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm ready for heaven. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Now I couldn't see everyone. Maybe somebody's here and says, you know what, Pastor, I'm concerned about that. Would you pray for me as you close? I'm not going to embarrass you or call attention to you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe here this morning the Lord spoke to your heart about something. Say, Pastor, as you close, as we sing this song, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. Would you slip your hand up and hold it on my left and my right? Thank you. Thank you. Others join these. Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart about some things. Lord, we do love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each one who raised a hand and said by the uplifted hand that they know they're ready for heaven. We thank you for that. And Lord, we